Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe and Angel coming back to you with a Mailbag Monday. Angel, we've got a lot of questions that have come in the mail, and we better jump in because I think they're piling up on us.
Okay, Joe. Is it normal for couples to eventually not have a lot to talk about? The longer we're married, the less we talk. My husband always says...
Yes.
Yeah, we keep going. My husband always says, I've told you everything. What do I talk about? I'm sorry, Joe said something funny before the show started. So... Do you know what the question was, or do I need to repeat it?
Yeah, you need to repeat it.
Is it normal for couples to eventually not have a lot to talk about?
Yes.
The longer we're married, the less we talk.
Yes, that's normal, but it's not good. It's not good at all.
So what do you do about it?
Well, you need to go on a date on some sort of regular basis. And sometimes maybe a date's just to go sit down on the front porch or go down to the local, you know, McDonald's, drink a cup of coffee and stare at each other and talk about something. I used to tell couples that I learned something years ago from an older guy I met in Kentucky. He said, you know, we sit down once a week for 30 minutes, and he had a list of about 18 things, our house, our income, our jobs, our in-laws, our kids, and we just talk about it. So we just hit about a minute and a half on each subject. Mm-hmm. Okay, what do you think about church? Where we're going to church? You like a church? Yes. Okay, let's go. What about a house? You like a house? No, I don't like two-story house. What? You don't like? Well, we've been living in a two-story house for 10 years. Yeah. Next house, I want a single level. I don't want to go up and downstairs. Okay, well, I'll learn something there. What do you think about the kids? And all of a sudden, something would come out in that 30 minutes every week. I didn't know you thought that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you thought that. Because couples drift because they stop talking.
Right.
And they don't want to ask questions. And especially men, don't ask a question. Dear God, she'll be talking for an hour and a half. Don't ask a question. Just stay real quiet. Turn the TV on. Get a lot of food in your mouth and try not to talk. And I've had grown men tell me that when I was first married. You know, you ain't still married a long time. Go home late. Get your mouth full of food. Go to bed early. Get up and leave early and go to work. And you'll have a good marriage. I thought, and that was a guy that was a former drill instructor in the military. And I thought, that's not right.
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to get to know one another if you don't talk? So you learn how to do conversation. Number one, you have two ears and one mouth, so listen more than you talk. But you got to ask some questions about each other. If you don't, you'll drift. And that's where the highest divorce rate comes when the oldest or the youngest kid leaves home.
Mm-hmm.
That's true in America. What happened? When did you get divorced? When the youngest kid left home. Why? You'd already drifted apart. You stopped talking. You stopped being curious. Stopped asking questions. You stopped being romantic. So I tell people, you ought to go on a date once a week. Go for a cup of coffee or drive around the block or just go to McDonald's, eat a Big Mac. Go do something.
Yeah. One time, you can get creative about it too, because one time my son was out of town, or maybe he was just on a date or something, I don't remember. But my brother's wife was gone, and we decided, my daughter and I, that we were going to have him over for dinner. And so I said, let's play this game. We're going to call it, his name is Fred, Ask Uncle Fred. So I said, let's come up with 10 questions about, and find out things about him we don't know. And so we just asked him things like, if you had to live your life over again, what career would you choose?
And fascinating.
Yes.
Fascinating.
You know, what would you do different about raising your kids? You know, what's the first thing that attracted you to your wife? You know, things that you know, and my daughter came up with most of them. I just kind of got her started. That was the most interesting meal. And honestly, he answered questions totally different than we thought or than I thought.
That's so good.
Yeah. So it kind of dug into an area you know, to say, hey, these are things about you I don't know. And if I don't dig a little bit, I'm not going to know.
Well, the marriage game is so popular, newlywed couples.
Uh-huh.
And you think they know each other, got married, and they don't know anything about each other.
No. And it's so interesting.
Yes.
And so so I would try something creative like that. Just try to think up some great questions.
What's your favorite food?
Yeah.
You can go anywhere in the world on vacation, where would you go? What's your favorite color? You know, we all think we know the answer, and we don't any of us know the answer.
No, what's the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to you on a date?
Oh, man.
You know, Yeah, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's just a great way to and you know what will happen about the third question in when they're sharing? You'll go, I didn't know that. And it'll open a door. And then suddenly, so if you just take maybe an evening a week and say, okay, next week is your questions. You come up with the questions.
I will promise you. I'll promise you. If you'll do that, you'll get a lot more huggy kissing time.
I guarantee you.
I promise it.
So it's a great creative way to kind of just get that going.
Develop more intimacy in your life. It would be good.
I know. I almost thought I should go to and start a game, Ask Uncle Fred. because honestly, it's interesting, and you just find out so much about the other person.
Yes.
Hey, Joe, my wife and I are involved in our church extensively, and we love it. But we are literally doing something at church or church-related a minimum of 4 days a week. We are growing spiritually, and we don't want to stop, but we are struggling to find much downtime during the week. Are we doing too much at church? How can we keep growing without being at church so much?
Hmm. Well, that is a good question, but only you can have the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people thrive.
Mm-hmm.
We've known marriages that thrive being mm-hmm. involved, you know, 4 or 5 nights a week.
Being right.
It feeds them, and it feeds their marriage. And so then we've had some like, okay, man, we're burning out. And we've had people that would volunteer under me that'd be at church 4 or 5 nights a week. And they'd come to you after about a year, Joe, we love you. We love the church, but we're just burned out. We're going to have to quit. We're going to have to tweet. Stop teaching Sunday school. Stop ushering. Stop greeting.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. We're just burnt. Well, you evidently, you were overextended.
Mm-hmm.
And so nobody can tell you that. You should have said, you know, I think we need to cut back one night a week or cut back 2 days a week and just I still want to be involved and still do everything, but no, we need some personal time or we need some downtime or we need some just family time. We just need a time to stay home at night and watch an old movie, eat some popcorn. So you got to balance that yourself. Only you can know the answer to that.
And it doesn't say here whether you have children or not, but that would certainly play into it. But I've seen – you can say that with the church. I've seen families go to an extreme with sports and extracurricular activities.
Yes.
So in everything, you just have to bring some kind of a balance to it. But as far as attending church and growing spiritually, those are two very different things.
They're very different.
You can grow spiritually at your house.
Yes, you can.
The Bible says if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. If you seek after him, he's not that hard to find.
And you can volunteer church 7 nights a week and be spiritually dead.
You can be as backslidden
as
could
be.
I've been
there. Yes. I've been there.
Or it becomes a job,
yes,
basically.
Yes.
And so there's a very difference. There's
pride enters in. I'm at church all the time. I'm there when the doors open. I help out. Well, do you know Jesus? You don't know Jesus from the stick in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a relationship with him. And this is about a relationship with God.
Yeah. Now, listen, I believe you should be involved in your local church.
Yes.
I believe you should volunteer.
Yes.
I believe it's important. That's what the family of God is about.
Thank you.
Supporting each other in the local church. It's very, very important.
Your pastor is not your daddy.
No. So you've got to just – the best way to come into agreement with it is for you and your spouse to sit down and discuss it.
Yes, yeah.
And if both of you are fine with it, then keep on going. But if it is affecting your family, if it is affecting things, then –
You know, the best thing you could probably do is make an appointment with your pastor.
Mm.
And that is your spiritual daddy, and he would tell you.
Yeah.
Guys, you know, I didn't know you were here that much. You need to probably back that off a notch or two.
If he's a good pastor.
If he's a good pastor, he'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
He will tell you the truth.
All right, Joe, the next question is, and boy, is this a big one. What do you suggest for a couple to do when one spouse wants to tithe and the other does not?
Well, we've been asked that before. You know, I've been asked that before. The simple answer is most couples today are dual income
mm-hmm.
couples. And so the thing I've always given, I said, well, you know, you do have a joint bank account, but, you know, you say you believe you need to tithe, then you need to tithe off your paycheck. And you just go to work. Hey, I want you to take out 10% and then automatically send it to my bank, I mean my church.
Mm-hmm.
Your bank can do that. I deposit whatever goes in, 10% of this check every time. And you know, but you don't hide it. You need to tell your spouse, hey,
I believe financially, we can't be under a curse. We need to get our money that by being a tither.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not paying God off. God doesn't need our money. The streets are paid with gold. God needs our faith behind that money.
But, right.
But the 10%, like I teach it every time, the promised land, Jericho was the one of the 10 major cities. God said, Jericho's mine. I'm going to give you Jericho. You give back to me, then you get the other 9 cities. God wants us blessed. But there's some seed sowing that has to be done. You don't have any seed in the ground. You can pray all you want. Nothing's coming up. You have to do the natural for the faith to kick in. So you need to have a good teaching. You need to have somebody sit down. And I don't know. Everybody's come through life different. Some people have been burned. Well, church stole my money and the pastor ran off my money. Well, wait a second. Let's just get away from what happened. Let's go back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say?
Right. I had a friend when I first got married in my 20s, and her husband, boy, did they disagree on this issue. She felt very strongly about tithing, and he was cheap. And he did not agree with her.
The two did not meet in
the middle.
And
it caused tremendous friction between them that went on for years, I might add.
Mm.
And so... That would be something you definitely would want to discuss prior to your marriage. However, if you're already in the midst of it, you know, if you cannot come to an agreement, that is something I suggest you go to your pastor about.
Yeah, you need to talk to your pastor.
Because there is a spiritual law.
There is.
That goes into effect if you do not tithe.
You cannot duck it or run from it.
Now, what she did, though, she didn't work, but she would get grocery money or, you know, whatever in their budget. So she would tithe 10% on that and ask God to bless it. Because that's really all that she had the ability to do at the time, which was right.
Yeah, even the widow's mite. God, even Jesus saw that woman gave more money than anybody today. And she just gave 2 pennies.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that woman gave more. It's a heart attitude.
It is.
It's not the amount of money, it's the heart attitude.
Right.
So God's looking. God's watching. You know, I tell people, you're not giving, you're not sowing seed. God sees every hair in your head, and he knows every thought in your life. He knows what you're going to do before you do it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to honor God with the first fruit of my increase, because
right.
there's a law that goes with that.
Yeah.
This is not a legal thing. It's a spiritual thing.
Right.
Know? I can't afford to not give.
Absolutely. So that can be a hot-button topic,
yep.
though, boy. And this next one can be as well. Joe, I have a real issue with my oldest son's back talk. I find myself arguing back and forth with him, and I feel like I'm losing the argument when it shouldn't even be an argument. How do I deal with this?
Well, where did he learn it? You got to go back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's evidently, we've got a ping pong match going on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever start a ping pong match. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Not talk, you listen. You know, you don't yell, you don't have to holler. But if there's a lot of verbiage, there's probably a lot of words and tense decibel level going up. What happened? You're not talking. You're yelling. You're condemning. You're criticizing. You're ridiculing. You're not looking for a solution. You're wanting somebody to feel bad, and that's how all those conversations get started. Well, that's the dumbest thing you ever did, and I can't believe you did that. And you just do this all the time. Here are you doing this again? You're not going anywhere with that conversation. We're trying to solve a problem, not make somebody feel bad. And so it's got to go back to the beginning, but somewhere. The best way I know to fix that is just as the adult, hey, you know, son, honey, we need to talk. I need to apologize. I have let this thing get way out of hand. I'm sorry. We're not going to fix it overnight, but we're going to start doing this different. I love you. I'm praying for your future. I want you to be very successful. But rebellion is not in the success bucket. And this is what this is.
You know,
dishonoring the authority that God's put in your life. So I've messed that up, but I'm going to repent, and I'm going to start doing better.
Yeah.
But from now on, this will not be tolerable. We won't do this.
Yeah, you know, when I was growing up, and we're from the South, I'm from Georgia, and, you know, we have all these sayings, and the majority of them aren't blessings.
Have mercy.
You're uglier than a blah, blah, blah. So, but there's a lot of teasing and cutting down in my family.
Yeah.
And it was hurtful. And every insecurity I had to overcome as an adult was directly
tied to your childhood.
Tied to those words, because they are powerful.
Woo.
So when I had children, I said, I'm not having that in my home. There is no way that I'm having that in my home. And I never have. And one time, my son was about 16, he got mouthy with me one time, and I just got real quiet, and I said to him, son, my expectation is that you're going to speak to me with the same respectful tone I speak to you. And he dropped his head and he said, I'm sorry. And we never had that issue again.
Incredible.
So I think what Joe said is correct. Correct it with your child and change your behavior. And as an example, it will change his.
Yes.
You know, a great resource, Joe, when ever you're talking about kids and raising them, you have them a lot on the website, joemcgee.com. But one of my favorites is God Knows How to Raise Your Kids Even If You Don't.
Excellent.
I would highly recommend that you get that because it will help you with lots of challenges
yes.
like these. Guys, we appreciate you so much. Partners, thank you for making this podcast possible. If you'd like to become a partner, please just go to joemcgee.com and hit the give button. We love you guys. See
love
you next
it.
Week.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.